Well, we thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy during these trying times that we're going through. And I guess we have a little question for you this morning about, do you adore the Lord? Adore. Adore is a deeper level of love. You love everything they are and everything they do. You have utmost esteem and respect and honor and admiration, devotedness, delight, and worship. Adore. Do we adore the Lord? So we're endeavoring by these scriptures this morning to be able to help us all to check our lives and see if we really have the Lord first and adore Him in all things. So we want to start in Acts 13, 21 and 22. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now this is quite a testimony that David had.
Yes, it is.
In the days when he could not live free from sin, in the days that there wasn't a deliverance from the enemy to be able to draw them into sin, in that day, he found a man that was after his own heart, in David. And so in Psalms 119, it gives us a little idea of what it was that God found in David. Psalms 119, verse 128 through 131. It says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts according concerning all thy things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Now what God found in David was a man that wanted to follow God in all that he had been taught, in all the sacrifices, in all the worship, all the things. He didn't try to go in and change things. He didn't allow for there to be like his son did, Solomon. He didn't allow for them to have groves and to build different temples to different gods or anything like that. He kept always before him the face of the Lord. And he did not go against his statutes, his commands, whatever it was that God had given. He did not go against those things. He was readily ready to confess that he needed help when he needed it. He found a man in those days that had all the great desire to live for the Lord and do for the Lord, and yet was living in a time when there was not a perfected way to do that. In Psalms 119, 15 and 16, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. This was David. He didn't forget the word. He delighted himself in the statutes. He meditated on the precepts. He had respect unto God's ways. He didn't try to change anything. He didn't try to lessen it. He didn't try to lead the people and say they didn't have to do all that God had commanded up to that point. No, he followed God himself and practiced all the things that God had commanded for his day and his age. And his heart longed. His heart longed. You can read in the Psalms where he is the author. You can read about how he was always in distress. He had a lot of burdens. He had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of things that came against him. But he was always petitioning God for his help. He was always saying, Lord, you're the only one that can help. You know, if you say it'll be so, it'll be so. He was always looking to the Lord. He understood that he was his help. That was all he had. He didn't depend on his armies. He didn't depend on his friends. He depended on God. He was always petitioning God and asking for his help with the enemy here and the enemy there. And he wanted deliverance from this battle and from that battle. And he never went into battle thinking that we have it, we've got it, I'm all powerful, my men are the mightiest men. No, he was always petitioning God for the help. This was the man that was after God's own heart. And sometimes I wonder about us in our lives and where we live. Just how do we esteem God's precepts? And concerning all things, do we think that God's always right? And you hate every false way? Every false way? You hate them all? Do you believe that his words gives light and understanding? Do you pant after the Lord and long, long for his commandments? Do you feel like sometimes that, Lord, I just don't think that I'm quite where I should be or what I should be doing? I'm not quite there. I need more, Lord. Do you petition the Lord sometimes saying, I need more? I feel something. I feel something there that's not quite right. I need more. See, that was what David was always after. He was always after more. That's a person after God's own heart. When you're always wanting more for him, instead of just saying, well, I've done this and I've done that, that's enough, and I'm just living for the Lord, and I just use his name, but I don't really pant after him. I don't really, you know, go after all of his ways. I don't think all of them are exactly right. I question this and I question that, and I question this scripture and I question that scripture, and I just don't embrace it all exactly. Lord, help us to adore the Lord. Adore everything about him. Everything. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I was thinking how that when we give the Lord the glory due his name, this is a scripture in the Old Testament. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, we look at that scripture, and if we apply it to our lives today, we know that the New Testament teaches you must be holy because I am holy. Amen. So we must be holy. But in that day and age, they were not able to come to the place of holiness that we are. They were not able to get a complete deliverance like we do. And so he says in the Old Testament, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In the idea that I am coming after the Lord with all that I have. I adore him. There's nobody else that I would rather spend my time with. Lord, help us. It says, come to him with the glory due his name. Give him his testimonies. Tell about those things. From the smallest to the greatest. Many times there are things that we don't tell because we feel like, oh, it's such a little thing. You know, such a little thing. But do you know, people need to know that God works in the little things. We know he works in the big things. We need to know he works in the little things. We need to know that glory is due him all the time. If nothing special happened in your life today, you didn't get a great blessing, but you didn't get anything bad come against you either. You need to glorify the Lord that you had that kind of a day. That you were not in trouble and not tormented and not pulled down and not fighting against the enemy. You need to glorify the Lord. Oh, we have a tendency to glorify the Lord when something's going wrong and we're petitioning him and we want out. Then we glorify Him. Then we talk about Him. Then we talk to Him. But do we talk to Him through the day in all of the things that pertain to our lives, in the home, at work, in our cars? Do we petition the Lord there? Do we talk to Him there? So here we are. It says, bring an offering. Bring an offering. So let's turn to John 11, 1 and 2. John 11, 1 and 2. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. That Mary. Now we know the story of Mary and how she came in. He was dining with one of the Pharisees had asked him, or one of the scribes or Pharisees, one of them had asked him to come to his house to eat, and they were reclining as they did in that day, eating, and she came in, went into another man's house. She was not invited, but she crept in there as quiet as she could and was behind the master and crying, and her tears were running on his feet. And she broke an alabaster box, and ointment went, you know, smell of an ointment went out, and bathed. Anyway, the whole thing. And here was her offering. The real offering was her tears. The tears. Why? He had touched her. She had come to an understanding and realization that the life she had been living was a bad life, and that she needed to make a change. And she was crying for the change that God gave her. And as she cried, she had nothing to wipe His feet with, and she was using her own hair to wipe His feet. The scripture says, bring an offering. She was bringing an offering. An offering to the Lord. Is that what we bring to the Lord? Do we bring Him offerings of how much we adore Him and worship Him? Do we bring Him offerings of tears and thanksgiving and all the... Do we bring Him those kind of offerings? Or do we spend most of our time asking Him for something? Asking Him for this or for that, or to intervene here or to intervene there? Or do we spend a lot of our time in thanksgiving and praise, meditating upon His word? Lord, help us. We need to adore the Lord. She adored Him. At that point in time, there was no sacrifice too great that she wouldn't have given Him. She didn't care about the ridicule. She didn't care if the lead man of the home would send his guards or whatever to drag her out. She didn't care. She was worshiping the Lord in the simplest way she knew how, which was to bow at His feet, cry. She was wiping her hair on His feet. Oh, dear ones, she adored Him. He had done something for her, and she realized it, and she adored Him. So we want to move on down and go through 3 through 6 of chapter 11. Same chapter, 3 through 6. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he rushed to the rescue. No, he did not. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He abode 2 more days. It says he loved them. And they had addressed him in their message to him. The one you love, Lazarus, the one you love. We know you love him. The one you love is sick. And Jesus loved them. But he didn't go right away. So we go on into the 19th verse. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. Then we want to skip down to verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Both sisters said the same thing. Both of them said it. If you had only been here, and Jesus had tarried 2 days, if you had only been here. Oh, dear ones, do we only worship God when he comes to our rest speedily? Do we only feel good about it when it's over quickly? When it looks like the wrong thing has happened, and we had prayed, and we had asked Jesus, asked God to help us, and it looks like the outcome is totally different than anything we could call a victory. Do we still worship him? Do we still adore him? Do we adore all of his wisdom, all of his secret ways, all of the things that he has in a plan for us and in our life that we can't see or know or understand, and he has no intention of revealing to us because we don't need to know. We just need to know. Martha said it, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. In other words, she knew. She knew he had the power to do it. Amen. She knew that if he had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. He loved him. She trusted that he wouldn't have died because you love us so much. But he let him die. He had a greater purpose. Sometimes the purpose isn't to raise them from the dead. Sometimes it's to take them to glory.
That's true.
To leave them there. That their work is finished. Their time is over.
Yeah.
He's sparing them from greater harm later on. Things that were going to come. Things that were that God looks out into the future and sees. And he says, no, I'm not going to let them go through. We look at it, we've lost our loved one. But God looks at it different. But she adored him. Because she was still thinking on his commandments and his precepts. She was still trusting that whatsoever thou wilt ask God, he'll give it to you. Even now. Even now. Death is not a barrier. Even now. So, here she is. They have both come to the place of saying, if. There are many times that we say things like that to the Lord. Lord, if you had only sent your healing virtue. Lord, I wouldn't be in this pain if you would take it away. Lord, I would not be going through this if such and such would have happened. Lord, I wouldn't have all these aches and pains in my body if I had not been in that accident or taken that fall or had something happen along the way. The Lord is so good. In John 4, 23 through 24. John 4, 23 through 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, dear ones, the hour cometh. We're in the hour. We're in the hour where it cometh. Where The true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Yes.
See, he seeks such to worship him. God seeks for something, dear ones. He seeks for the worship of his children. He seeks for that. God is a spirit. And so we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship God, it says in the word. God can't be worshiped with men's hands. It's their spirit. And it's the truth. It is willing to take the truth, no matter how much it cuts us, no matter how much it hurts us, no matter how many battles we have to fight to get it, willing to go the way of the truth and worship God in our spirit, on the inside of us. We have to adore him. We have to adore everything about him. We have to adore him when he doesn't seem like he's answering. We have to adore him. We have to have a mind like Martha that says, Lord, it doesn't seem like you're answering, but I know. See, I know. I know you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. You said you'd be with me till the end. You said you're a present help in every trouble. You said all these things, Lord. So I trust you, even though I can't feel you, I can't see you. It feels like I can't touch you. Do I adore him like that? To where I adore his words, and those words spring up in me when things go wrong. His words spring up because I adore him so much, and I put so much emphasis on what he has said, what he has told me, how he has done it. We know we have the adversary that's always in our mind, attacking us on truth, attacking us, if God really loved you, he'd do this. Attacking us that you must have really done something wrong because God isn't answering. He attacks us with all these things. But are we going to be like Martha, who is going through a deep grieving hardship, but she says and reminds the Lord, but even now I know, even now I know. When we're going through things, if we adore the Lord, we're going to say, even though I know. I know everything works together for good to those that are called according to his purpose.
True.
Oh, Lord, help us to really adore the Lord. It's a deeper love. It's more than what we have maybe thought about in the past. It's we love everything that he is, everything that God is, and everything that he does. Even when we don't understand it. Can we love the Lord when we don't have good understanding? Can we adore him in the midst of not having an answer? Can we adore him then? See, that's what David had. No matter where he was, no matter what was happening in his life, he was constantly coming to the Lord, and he was believing that God was going to deliver him from his enemies. He was going to give him the battle. He was going to stop the mouths of those that were against him. He believed those things. He asked for them. He believed them. He was a man after God's heart. And that's what we're going to have to be. We're going to have to adore the Lord. So he seeketh those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's go to Acts 15 and 16. Acts 9, 15 and 16. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. This is talking to Ananias, I believe, the one that was going to pray for him. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. All right. So Paul gets this message. Gets knocked down on the road. Realizes he's going to have to turn about and go the opposite way he was going. He goes and follows the instructions and the man that's going to pray for him. And the man is told, I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Do you think in those 3 days that Paul was, before he spoke with Ananias, do you think he was hearing from the Lord? Do you think he was maybe already hearing some of the things that God was going to give him? Do you think he was hearing some of the places he was going to have to go? He said he was going to show him. He was going to have to testify, bear his name, bear his name. Do you know that bearing Jesus' name is not always pleasant? It's not a victory in itself. It doesn't gain you favor with people. It doesn't gain you friends. It doesn't gain you high positions in this land. Bearing the name of Jesus. If anything, it does all the opposite of those things. But he told him, he says, you're going to bear my name before the Gentiles? They weren't even supposed to have dealings with the Gentiles. But you're going to tell them, kings and the children of Israel, those that you have been among, those that you were teaching just like they were, those that you were delivering the Christian into prisons and all because that was what they wanted and you were zealous for what they were teaching and wanting at that time. You're going to bear my name in front of them too. He was giving up every prestigious place he had in his life. Why? Because Jesus spoke to him and called him and changed his heart and changed his life. And he said, yes, Lord. He said, yes, Lord. He wasn't promised a life of ease, victories. And from victory to victory, he was going to go. And from he was going to be able to do all these things. He wasn't promised any of those. If anything, he was told what great things he was going to have to suffer. He was going to have to suffer for his name. So in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. This is Paul's testimony. This is his testimony. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Here comes his testimony. I am more. In labors, more abundant. Labors. Do you know what that means, labors? It means hard work. In stripes, above measure. That means beatings. Yeah. In prisons, more frequent. Not just maybe even the ones that we're told about in the Bible, but there were other times that he was held overnight here and held overnight there. And who knows all what all manner of things that was done unto him. In deaths, oft. In other words, in danger of his life. In danger of his life. And one time, he was left for dead. They threw him out of the city and his disciples stood around him. And all of a sudden, he came to and got up and they went on. Of the Jews, 5 times, received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes, 5 times. That was just from the Jews. That doesn't count any other. That doesn't count the Romans. That doesn't count any of the Gentiles that were after him. It doesn't count for any, just that's just the Jews. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That was when he was left for dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in the ocean, in the water. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, the Jews, in perils by the heathen, the Gentiles, in perils in the city, wasn't safe in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, wasn't safe out in the wilderness, in the country, trying to get away from all the people, wasn't safe there. In perils in the sea, couldn't get away by ship. In perils among false brethren. Those that said, oh, we're with you, Paul. We're right there with you. We're going to stand by your side. But they didn't. In weariness and painfulness. Oh, you mean he suffered pain? Oh, yes, he suffered pain. In all these things. You think you can go through all these things and not suffer pain? In watchings often. What does that mean? You know, some of those nights when we're up through the night praying and talking to the Lord and can't seem to get to sleep, thinking about this or that or our burdens or praying for other people's burdens. Yeah. In watchings often. He was often in those places. In hunger and thirst. Didn't have all the food he wanted. Didn't have all the water to drink that he wanted. In fastings often. Many, many times fasting for himself, for others, for the situations. In cold and nakedness. Being cold. It wasn't just hot in the summer. He was cold in the winter. Didn't have all the garments that he needed to keep warm. And besides those things that are without. See, those are all the things without. That which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches. The burdens of all the churches. The burdens that God had given him. The burdens that God, it looks like Paul, he was chosen all right. He was a chosen vessel to bear God's name. And we don't hear of him ever being discouraged. We don't hear of him saying, this is too much. We don't hear of that. He went about bearing in the body the things that he had to in order to fulfill what God had given him to do. Dear ones, we're going to be in pain. We're going to be in nakedness. We're going to be beaten and stoned. Sometimes we're going to make shipwreck. There's going to be many things that come our way, but are we going to adore the Lord through every one of them? When he takes our loved one, when he takes the dearest to us, are we going to adore the Lord even then? Are we going to say, your ways are best, it is right what you have done, you never make a mistake? Are we going to do that? Are we going to adore the Lord in all his ways? And some of his ways lead into these kinds of places. These are God's ways. This is how he leads us into these places. This is what he does. Are we going to still adore the Lord even there? Are we going to, through the pain, are we going to say, I love you still. I love you still. I adore you. I worship you. Are we going to do that through the pain, through the suffering, through the burdens, through the perils of accusers and false brethren and our own families that turn against us sometimes? We're going to bear that reproach, not get to feeling sorry for ourselves, not take ourselves off into a corner, saying, well, I'm just not going to go around there anymore, or they don't really appreciate me, so I'll just leave them alone, and all these. Is that what we're going to do? I don't think Paul did that. I think he ran for his life when the Lord told him to, and he stood his ground when the Lord told him to, and sometimes he ended up in prison because he stood his ground, because the Lord told him to. He avoided being in prison, no doubt, and he definitely avoided being killed many times by fleeing. God would warn him, and he would flee. But if God leaves us in, are we going to adore him through all of those times? Are we going to adore him through old age? You know, old age is a little hard. When we've come from our strongest place in life, and now we're getting down to our weakest place in life, we're even weaker than when we were children. We can't do what we could do when we were children. We just have more understanding than children did. But we can't even do what they do. We can't run upstairs. We can't go running across the lawn. We can't jump rope. We can't do all these things that children are able to do and with the strength they have in their bodies. No. Our strength is waning. It's going away. Can we adore the Lord even then? And just let the Lord know, Lord, I know you are the one that said, We could have victory in old age. We could bring forth fruit in old age. We could still do that. It isn't about our strength. It's about God's strength in us that brings forth fruit. Are we willing and able to adore the Lord when we're going through these kind of things, the natural things of life? Can we do that? 2 Kings 17, 36. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. I brought this scripture up because it speaks about a saved life. Egypt is a type of sin. And how God brought us up out of sin with a power and a stretched out arm. It was nothing we did. He brought us out. We should fear him. And we should worship him. And we should do sacrifice to him. We should be willing to sacrifice for him. Do you know there are many people that want to call on the name of the Lord, but they don't want to do any sacrifice. They don't want to give up their favorite little things. They don't want to give up their things that they've gotten mixed up into out there in the world. They want to hang on to those things. They want to keep indulging in all those things, and yet they want to live for the Lord. But you know, the things don't mix. The world and the worship of God don't mix together. You're either worshiping the world or you're worshiping God. And they don't mix together. Does God give us a space of time to understand these things? Yes, he does. And I'm so glad he did. Because I didn't understand a lot of things when I first got saved. But he brought me step by step until I could understand. So thankful for that. But do you know, we can't live for the Lord for years and years. We can't have come to the understanding of what truth is, how you worship God in spirit and in truth, how you sacrifice the world and you get it out of your life. We cannot let that all hang on and adore the Lord and all his ways. Because when we let the world hang on, who are we adoring? We are adoring the things of the world and the enemy that is behind all of the power and the glory and all the things that are in this world. He's behind all those things. And if we glory in those things and we can't let go of those things, we are adoring him more than we adore the Lord. To adore the Lord means that we understand his precepts and we say, amen, Lord. Take from me whatever you must for me to make it to heaven, for me to be a pleasure in your sight, for me to bear the reproaches of Christ. Take whatever you need to from me. I'll gladly give up. You know, we get into some of those dire, straight places, and we're glad to give up some things. True. We get in those places, and we start naming off, Lord, I'll give you this, and I'll give you that. And I'm thinking, why do we say it then? Why say it then? Why didn't we say it before? Why has it come to the forefront now? Because you've been wrestling with it for a while. That's why you know that I'm just willing to just lay it aside. I'm not gonna wrestle with it no more. I'm not gonna fight with it no more. It's gone. It's out of my life. Oh Lord, can we adore him in all his ways, in all his teachings? And yes, they are strict teachings. And yes, they are against the world teachings. And yes, they do not let us indulge our flesh on any line. Yes. Do we adore that? Do we adore that? Or do we like to feed our flesh a little over here while we deny our flesh over there for Christ's sake, but over here, I'm still indulging in it right over here. Lord, help us. Do we adore the Lord all the time? Or we only adore him as much as it benefits us. Lord, when it puts a cross in our life, when it makes a sacrifice, when we have to really fight against something, when we love this thing and now the Lord has put his finger on it, what are we going to do? Are we going to adore the Lord in all of his ways? Or are we just going to say, I love God? Or are we going to adore him? Adore is deeper than love. Remember we said in the beginning, it's a deeper level. We love everything about him, who he is, what he commands, how he works in our life, how he brings pain or suffering, because we know it all works for good. Are we going to adore him when it looks like that? Let's go to Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show thyselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed,
yes,
turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
Thank the Lord.
And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan.
Wow.
And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. This stranger that isn't supposed to know very much about God and wasn't taught in all the precepts of God and kind of had their own ways and their own language and their own way of doing things, their own way of worshiping God and all the different things. They had a lot of strange ideas. Just this one came back? Just one. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
I was thinking about this when the Lord brought this to my mind. Oh, Lord. It is so like humans to cry out for mercy, mercy, mercy. Help me, help me, help me. And as soon as the Lord helps them, they run off about their business. They do this, they do that. They soon forget that God touched them. They don't tell a lot of people about it. They don't meditate on it for days and days thinking of the great thing that God did for them. They don't fall on their knees with prayer and thanksgiving saying, Oh God, you touched me. You healed me. I can't believe what you've done for me. This is so wonderful. But this one man did. He did. Who do you think adored the Lord?
Right.
Who do you think adored the Lord? Or who do you think just wanted the blessings of the Lord?
Yeah.
Oh, there are so many that want the blessings of the Lord. But they don't really adore his ways. They don't adore his sacrifices. They don't adore when he says that if you love the world, you're an enemy of mine. They don't adore that. They don't adore it when he comes to them and he says, You were the one that was wrong. Now you need to say you're sorry.
Right.
They don't adore him then. They want to be the one that's right.
Help us, Lord. Amen.
Oh, Lord. Are we going to adore the Lord every day? Through everything, we're going to adore him and we're going to say, Lord, I know you're here. I can't feel you right now with what I'm going through. It feels like my prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling. I'm not getting touched as I pray. I'm not getting touched when I read. And I'm under a great burden. A great shadow. I'm under this, Lord. Am I going to quote all of the things I know about him anyway? Am I going to believe all the things I know about him anyway? Am I going to say, Lord, I can't feel you, but you are right here. You're just not letting me feel you right now, but you are right here. My prayers don't seem like they're getting through, but you are hearing them because you said you would. You are hearing them, Lord. I'm not feeling so inspired by your word, but Lord, this is your word.
Yes.
This is the love letter that you gave to me that was to answer all my problems and show me the way and take me safely to glory. This Bible that you have given me. And I just let it sit on the shelf and sit on the shelf and sit on the shelf. I don't pick it up very often. Oh, listen. When we adore the one that sent us a letter. How many times will you read that letter over and over? How many times will you rejoice in what they say in that letter over and over? How many times? But we get bored with reading the word. Oh, it's the same. I've already read those verses. I already stand what the Lord is saying. Oh, Father God. Do we adore him? Do we worship him and adore him beyond our very life? Are we more afraid of death? Instead of saying, Lord, I will see your face. I will see you face to face. When I leave this world, I'm going to see you face to face. And I'm going to know the joys of the Lord. I'm going to know what is out there. I'm going to know what you have prepared for us. You said we couldn't even hardly understand it. We definitely don't know anything about your home, where you live, how it all operates. We have a little sneak peek here and there, but we really don't know very much, Lord. But oh, we're going to see it all. We're going to experience it all. We are going to take our place as kings and priests, as sons and daughters of his great majesty, of the God of all heaven. What kind of a place has he prepared for his family? His family. You know how parents work really hard to provide a nice place for their children. They work hard at it. Parents will sacrifice to make sure the children have. Oh, God has prepared something for us. Are we going to adore him? Is our greatest desire is to see his face in peace? Or is our greatest desire to live? See, sometimes that natural inbred desire to live that is given because you are alive can overshadow the fact that God is waiting on the other side.
Right.
He's right there.
True.
You just have to close your eyes and take your last breath, and you are going to be in the presence of the Lord. You're going to see him. You're going to be there. You're going to be seeing all that he has prepared.
Yes.
But sometimes we don't adore the Lord enough. We don't want to see him that bad. We don't want to see him that bad. If it means giving up all everything I have here. And yet we'll testify all the time that this is not a place to live. And this is horrible. And we have this problem and that problem. Everything is going wrong. Everything is going bad. And we're going to be so glad when we're out of this world. But then when it comes time, we fight for a little bit more life. How much do we adore the Lord? Really adore him. Adore him. Love him beyond all our everything else in our life. Is he first? First above everything. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. We have a song in our songbook that is after this, talks, has these words in it. Page 44, it's called Adoration. I adore the Lord, and I sing of it in this song. And it would be good if everyone, after they have heard the message, if they will go and get that song, and they will sing it to themselves and take note of every word, take note of every phrase, mean it with your whole heart. Really adore the Lord, all his ways, all the ways that are past finding out, that we don't have the answers to, that he's hidden the answers from us, and we don't get to know, we don't get all of our questions answered, you know. Because God knows it's not good for us. Are we willing to do that? Remember when we were children and they said, why? We said, why? And they told us, because I said so. That's our Lord. We say, why this and why that? And he says, just follow thou me. Just follow thou me. You see, that'll just encumber you. That'll just cause your mind to go off in tangents here or in tangents there or awakenings or this or that. And your mind will be all caught up with all of these deep secrets of God. Yes. When he's given us his whole word to explore and open up to us. That's and true. Say, Lord, what does this mean for me in my life? What does it mean for me? It has to be a meaning for me. Even if it's just to tell me something that happened a long time ago so I can compare it and say, oh, Lord. Because you know what? Those patriarchs in the Old Testament, sometimes they put us to shame. Yes. They didn't have what we have. Worshiping and truth and holiness, righteousness in the Lord, having our sins all forgiven, having the Adam nature out, being able to have the Holy Ghost completely living inside of us, leading us and guiding us. They did not have all of that. And sometimes how they went through and what they did put us to shame. Do we adore the Lord? Really adore him? They had to fight so much more to adore the Lord. They didn't even have the kind of things that we have deep inside of our bosom to fight with. They didn't have that. The Lord would appear to them here and there. He would inspire them here and there, but he did not live inside of their spirit. Oh, Lord, help us. Do you really adore the Lord? Amen.